Oh, kia ora, kia ora. Welcome to Faith Matters. It's Friday. You're here, I hope. I'm here, and I'm looking forward to having a really great guest in the studio today. I've got Hannah Pett coming in, and Hannah is she's a field manager. She's a nurse over in the islands in Papua New Guinea, and she does a lot of work over there and has done for many, many years. And she's got some amazing stories around things that have happened over there and experiences, and she often comes back to New Zealand to be with her family, which she is at the moment. So we're lucky enough to have her in here pretty soon. I'm going to unpack some of the things that Hannah does, and yeah, I'm sure you're going to be quite surprised in the things that some of our people get up to in Whangarei overseas.
I was searching for a better way, lost without a reason for the pain. But then you stepped right in and showed me grace. You found me. We'll be right back.
World War III could happen anytime. They say aliens are flying in the sky. Most of us have learned that politicians lie. What a time to be alive. I don't really know what to make of the internet. Don't ask, don't tell, so I'm not asking why. They say these songs will be better done with AI. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive.
So Michael Jordan went on 6 and I was 9. Saw the look on Lady Messi on the line. Tiger and Serena.
They say we may be living in the end times. My grandma said the same thing and we would fight. Now I'm looking at my baby in the eyes. What a time to be alive.
Yeah. whenever I start to break. So here I am, lifting up my heart, lifting up my heart. If you can come.
It was Stars by Skillet, and I'm just going to check in with you. How did your Christmas go? I hope it was a really, really good one, didn't it? Wasn't it a beautiful day? Aren't we lucky that we got to have such sunshine? And, yeah, I hope you got to be with family, be with friends. I encourage you to just keep this Christmas spirit up, whatever you're doing, the good mood you're in. I hope it's carrying on right through to the end of the year.
I was at a loss until you found me. You gave me a home with any of your love. I was running blind until you showed me that life could be this good. I want all my friends to know about you. No matter what it takes, I'll never stop. Everything I am is for your glory. My life's forever yours. I found one love, can't control it. Hit me like a wildfire, send me emotion. Nothing else compares, losing all my cares. Now that I have found one love, one, one love. Nothing else compares, losing all my cares. Now that
now I'm running far within your freedom. I don't even care what they would say. Living in your presence is the reason I'll never be the same. I want all my friends to know about you. No matter what it takes, I'll never stop. Everything I am is for you.
We've got Hannah in the studio, and I'm really looking forward to this chat. So welcome, Hannah.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And I know you've just sort of flown in from Papua New Guinea, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm home for the holidays, which is nice.
You're a local.
Yep, sure am.
But you're hardly ever here, Hannah.
No, living full-time in Papua New Guinea or PNG these days.
PNG. I've called it that before, and I've realised people don't actually know what that means.
PNG? Yeah. You've got to go with the long one, Papua New Guinea.
You do.
Yeah.
So I've known Hannah for a few years now. Quite a few years, but I've only known Hannah as she comes in and out of what she does. I know her family well, and you're the eldest in your family.
I'm the eldest, yep.
And you flew off pretty quickly, like pretty soon, I'd say. Like, you had a heart for overseas, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been wanting to work overseas as a nurse since I was a little girl. It's why I did nursing. It's why I do what I do. And I've been involved in this kind of work for 20 years now.
20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've gone over to PNG, Papua New Guinea. So tell us a little bit about that journey, because I know that where you started, you're not there now.
Yeah. For sure. So I was originally based in Australia, and I would go bounce back and forth between Australia and Papua New Guinea and other parts of the world. Before I started focusing in on Papua New Guinea, I did a little bit in Irian Jaya and other parts of Southeast Asia and the Pacific. Irian Jaya, sorry, West Papua, so the other side of Indonesia on the Papua New Guinean island.
I'm lost, but that's good.
Yeah.
You know this.
Anyway, part of Indonesia. But yeah, PNG started focusing in on 2006, I think, is when I first started going there. And I would bounce back and forth between Australia and PNG. Then in 2021, I made the move full-time to live in Papua New Guinea full-time. So I've been up there full-time now for 3 years, but been working there for over 10 or just under a long time.
So what brought you to make that move permanent?
Well, I just love the country. I love mm-hmm. what I do. It's amazing going back and forth, and I appreciated going back and forth. But I felt like it was time to not just invest out into the rural areas where I was working healthcare-wise, but also I'm based in the capital city, which allows me to invest into young people so that they can then invest into the rural areas. So it wasn't enough just for me to go to those rural areas, but it was time to train up young people within the nation so they would be the ones that would go to the rural areas.
Right, and that was going to be my question, investment into our young people. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so that's my big focus these days.
Yeah, and when we say young people, what age group are we looking at?
Well, Papua New Guinea is a young nation. They don't have an elderly population, mass amount of young people. So my last grouping of students were between 18 to 26, I think, was my oldest. Mm. And there was nine of them, or eight of them. And
And you travel out with them?
I do. So I spent 10. So I do a few things over in Papua New Guinea. The organization that I'm involved in, we do a lot. We have a dental trailer that works in the city. We have a medical ship that works out into Western Province. We have a training facility in Port Moresby. I'm involved in our medical ship and our training facility, training young people to do basic healthcare in rural remote areas. So I took these guys, I spent about 5 months with them, about half that time in the classroom training. Then I went bush with them for about 10 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and I've seen footage of Hannah in the bush, and we are talking about in the bush, yeah. We're talking about fires to boil your water.
Yeah, very remote. So I do have cell phone service in a lot of the places I go to now. I didn't used to, but no electricity, no solar even. So just, head torch and cooking over a fire, bathing in the river, or if there's crocodiles, bringing your water up from the river to bathe away from the river. Just basic life. It's pretty fun.
And it's fun. Yeah, it's quite distant from the life we have here, Hannah.
A little different, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite amazing because it's almost like stepping back in time.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't got all the pressures here, and I guess you must feel that going back. It might feel awesome, actually.
It is nice. It's a different kind of pressure. Like, it's good. It's amazing, and I love it. But it's a hard life. Like, it's not like you can whip down to the supermarket and grab some food. You don't even have a fridge, so every day you got to go out to the garden or go fishing.
I'm thinking to get about your chocolate food.
Chocolate.
I don't know about this.
You're
not selling it to me.
No, it's a different way of life for sure, but it's pretty rewarding. Yeah,
I can imagine. And with Hannah, Hannah also has a faith, and I kind of feel that that's part of what drove you to the work.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I long to see the world change, and I want to be a part of making a difference and seeing people have hope and have life. I think that's one of our things that, we always talk about. We want to see healthy lives, healthy communities, healthy nations. That's kind of like our kind of slogan. And I really do. To see like a nation change, we need to see a community change. See a community change, you need to see a family change. See a family change, you need to see an individual change. So it's working at the individual level that can essentially change that family, which can change that village or the community, which then go on to change the nation. So, yeah, and it's all very well to do programs or build toilets or install water tanks, but if you do not change people's opinion of themselves or their understanding of who they are in the world, those structures collapse. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you need to do more than create a structure or a program. You need to address the person and their understanding of life and how they see the world and themselves.
Yeah, Hannah, I can't agree with you more. I know how important it is. We can have all these big plans and big ideas, but unless we're willing to look at ourselves individually, we're just looking for everything else to change but ourselves. So we're going to go into a song. We're going to come back and, yeah, I wanted to head into a beautiful story that I've heard Hannah tell before about an experience. Well, she's had many experiences in her time, but I've heard this one and it's quite touching. So, yeah, tune in and we're going to get into that when we come back. To change, but hey, we're going to start somewhere.
Yeah, true.
We can just start with ourselves.
Yep.
And spread it out from there.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Hannah's had many experiences over her 20 years now, goodness me, of being over in Papua New Guinea and the people that she works with. And she goes out to remote areas. So, yeah, I think that there was a story I heard, was it a couple of years ago now?
Yeah,
I think.
Probably a few years ago now. Yeah.
So it stuck with me. Many of your stories do. Yeah, they do, actually. Yeah, so this one was particularly about an experience you had out in the field, and I have talked to Hannah a little bit off air about what that was, and so I was just going to let her lead into this a little bit. She was... So she has to go to these remote areas sometimes, and it's quite tricky because these people don't always have contact with the outside world, mm-hmm. and how we might present ourselves, quite a scary thing for them, just
to see us
walk on in. So mm-hmm. tell me a little bit about this one that I'm talking about.
The story? All right, yeah. So I was working at a hospital in remote Papua New Guinea, and... Often, lacking in supplies and resources. It's not uncommon. And we had a mama who, we call them Bell Mama. So Bell is your belly. So she was a pregnant lady. So she had a baby in her belly. So she was a Bell Mama. Yeah. Bell Mama. So she was a Bell Mama. She was in labor. And she had just had her baby, and the baby was healthy, which was very exciting. But unfortunately, she was having some complications post-birth. And I can't remember the stat. I should know the stat. But the rate of women dying in childbirth in Papua New Guinea is just way too high, mm-hmm. Particularly in these rural areas. And she was having some pretty severe complications, and we needed to... medevac her somewhere, but it was night and there was no way to medevac her till the next day, and it was horribly expensive. It would mean that she was away from all her support network, has to find a way back. It just wouldn't have been a good option. Such a family orientated culture, and to take them out of their culture and their family and place them on a plane, send them off to a hospital far away where they don't know language and people and family, it's just not a good option. But so I was with the nurse there, and we were looking for some particular medication, and we just couldn't find it anywhere. We're looking up and down the hospital. We couldn't find it. And they said, oh, it's in this cupboard. And I looked in this cupboard, and we couldn't find it. And, you know, desperate, really. I wouldn't say I had, like, this crazy faith or something like that. I was just a bit desperate.
Yeah, I was just desperate.
Pretty much. I just didn't know what to do. So I just remember chucking my hand on the cupboard and being like, okay, Lord, we just asked if this medication would be in there. And sure enough, opened it and there it was, right in front of us. And, you know, some people might say that I just didn't see it the first couple of times I opened the cupboard. Some people might say it was a miracle. And who knows? All I know is I'm extraordinarily grateful that we were able to find that medicine, and that that mama now lives and that baby now lives because of the medicine and because of that medicine being found. Whether, God miraculously appeared that, got that medicine out of nowhere, or I opened my eyes up, either way, I'm just very grateful, because it was definitely a prayer that was prayed that before we were able to find that. So, yeah, it was really... That was a very good reminder
Do you find that the people you work for, it's a Christian organisation?
Yes.
Yeah. So do you guys do a lot of praying when you head into these places? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Papua New Guinea is a faith-based nation, a Christian nation. And very, very spiritual as a nation. Mm. So it's almost like it's, like, you can't separate spiritual and healthcare and mental and physical when working in Papua New Guinea. And it's not uncommon for me to be working with somebody and find nothing wrong physically, but recognize that there's like a rift in the family, and that's causing the sickness, and then address that rift and help bring reconciliation between, like, mum and daughter-in-law. And I've seen a number of things like that. So you can't really separate, you know, physical and spiritual and mental. You got to look at it as a whole, particularly in Papua New Guinea, because it's such a spiritual nation, and people, just the way they think and interact. And yeah, so yeah, you've got to.
It'd be nice to have that awareness here. I think we've lost a little bit of our spiritual awareness, because I work a lot in the Te Whare Tapa Whā model, and that that totally looks at our full health and well-being. And you can't separate
the
spiritual, our emotional, our...
And family.
It's all connected.
And, very much so.
Yeah, and sometimes we can look at our health and wonder, why am I not well? You know, I eat well, I do life well, but there could be some things in our life that need adjusting, you know, some forgiveness or some family issues where it just eats away at us in the background. And
definitely.
Yeah, because it does, because we're connected and family matters, and we're at Christmas time, and we've just experienced that whole coming together with family. And for some people out there, that might not have been, you know, such a good time, and that's where I think community or that village mentality steps in.
Definitely,
so we don't feel that aloneness. And, you know, I really, Hannah passes over that story of finding the medicine in the cabinet really quickly, but I know Hannah has a massive faith and is a great woman of faith. And, you know, we think we have to do all these things in prayer, or we have to do things a certain way for God to act. But, you know, what I've learned about faith is it's often a heart response, and, you know, a desperate cry from the heart. I don't think there's anything more that reaches the ear of God in that time than when there's a call from someone he knows very well, Hannah. So I think that, yeah, you have a direct line. I'd like to close in on that sometimes. We all need that. So I'm going to go into this, and we're going to come back and talk about a couple of more things, and we'll see where we go from there.
It's like it was yesterday. I was praying for a miracle, scared to have a little hope. And now looking back today, seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up. 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I will keep counting my blessings. Oh, and I can't count that high. And I know that seasons never last forever. So God, I will remember all of the reasons my heart has to be grateful. All the times you've been faithful to me. God, I'm still counting my blessings.
I know that I'll run out.
No, and I can't count that high.
Sometimes it feels like that. Counting my blessings, and I'm not even going to say that name. There's no way I'm going to say that name. I'm going to get that so wrong, Hannah. No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got Hannah Pitt in the studio. It's been fabulous having her in here. She is a very busy woman, and I know she's going away on holiday. You're going long, long way away.
Mm-hmm.
You're just down to the back of the farm, aren't
yeah,
you, Hannah?
Camping. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful down the back of their farm. I'm not going to tell you where it is because that's not good. We don't want to share the space. We want you to relax and enjoy it. So before Hannah wraps up with our talk today, I just was hoping to hear a little bit more about what's happening over in PNG, Papua New Guinea, and some of those beautiful stories that she does have. And I've asked her for a particular one, maybe give us something around a village.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. So this is probably one of the – this was years ago. So our desire, obviously, is to see a nation changed and transformed. And Papua New Guinea is, like, the worst in the Pacific in terms of medical and education and security and safety and everything like that. But believe that it can be an example to the rest of the Pacific.
Yeah.
So there's a village that we were working in and didn't have a great reputation. We worked there for a while, and every time we came there were fights, domestic violence, and just really rough, in all honesty. It was just not a nice place to be. One time we were there with our medical ship, and we heard word that a local health worker was coming to stay there. And I remember sitting down with the leaders and just talking with them about a number of things, and just put the challenge out there to these leaders, like, what will be different about this time compared to other times. Fast forward, long story short, this community ended up adopting this health worker brilliantly. And then over the course of the next, like, 10 years, the way that I saw this village change was amazing. It went from being a village that healthcare workers, like, ran away from to this healthcare worker. She stayed there a long time. Unfortunately, while she was there, her son died of malaria, and the village just came around her in such a beautiful way. They used their own resources to build her a house. They used their own resources to make an aid post, like a little health center. And this obviously got the notice of the government and the church health services. So then they invested into this village. And now this village is like an aid post to lots of surrounding communities. And it's become a little bit of a light after being a dark place. And I love it. And it goes back down to, in all honesty, leadership at the village level and seeing local leaders take ownership. But yeah, it's really beautiful to see change in that. And I don't know, I just have so many stories of, like, I think of a guy, I just graduated him. I met him, apparently, I didn't know I met him, when he was a small boy. I went to his village and we were doing something. And anyway, I was just recently with him moving around. He was one of my students doing a healthcare patrol with me. And we were back in his home village. And I said to Ian, I'm like, oh, Ian, I've been to your place before. And he's like, yeah, I know you have. I'm like, oh, why is that? He goes, I remember I was a small boy, you came with the team and you set up a clinic and you did this. And I was like, you remember that? And it was like 14 years ago. Oh, wow. And now he's one of my, he was just a small boy that watched us set up clinic. And now he's a young guy that I've finished training and now he's serving his place. Another one of my students, apparently I gave him his vaccine when he was in school. He remembers the missionary nurses coming around to give him vaccines, and he's like, oh, I want to do that one day.
Oh, wow.
And now he's just finished schooling with me, about to start nursing school as well. So, it's, I don't know, that's what it's about, I think, seeing individuals and communities changed and transformed, and that's what we do, what we do.
Yeah.
And I love it.
You do, and I know you do, Hannah. And you, if you could see Hannah, you would see the passion she holds for the work that she does. But yeah, I really wanted to come back to that, where we started with this, is that we can have that bigger picture of wanting to change the world out there, or, you know, change our community. But if we don't start with the individual, and that's a great story about that young lady, you know, changing a village, and it just took her response, this one response and a heart response to do that. And it's had an impact. And I guess that's what's happening all over in PNG when you've got these young ones going out there with great great hearts and wanting to serve and be a part of a village.
It's pretty powerful,
yeah.
It's definitely far more effective, these young locals getting up there teaching to other young locals about HIV and everything than it is me. I get up and share and people are polite and they nod at me. But when these guys get up and share, it just like hits hearts so much stronger.
There we go.
So it's great.
It's our young people, eh? Like, you've got to have the voice of the young people.
Yeah.
Because they can move other things, I think, that us older ones, like people get tired of us shouting the same story over and over again or the same message. But you get the young ones with the passion who, you know, really believe in what they're doing.
Yeah, true.
And we're starting all over again, Hannah. So before I head out, and I do thank you so much for giving us time today. I really do. I appreciate that. Appreciate the work you do. And we will keep you in our prayers as we do. I hold Hannah in high regard. She doesn't really know that, but I think she's like a shining light out. They always have. And really appreciate what she does. And even greater than all of that, she is speaking on Sunday at Surfside Church. So if you want to know more about these amazing stories that Hannah has, I guess you're sharing a bit more about that.
Yeah, I will be.
She will be. She's holding that one back. She ain't going to tell it on air today, that's for sure. And if you want to join us on Sunday, that's 10 a.m. Raglan Area School. Great worship and Raglan roast and always some beautiful home baking, but more importantly, the Word of God and how to fix our life and being in community in the house of God and learning to change ourselves individually, I think, is a good thing to do. So if you want to join us on Sunday, hear Hannah's story, PNG, and all the things she does over there and the people that she touches, come and be encouraged.
One man come in the name of love. take that jump, you don't feel the fall. Hope when the water rises, you built a wall. Hope when the crowd screams out, you're screaming your name. Hope if everybody runs, you choose to stay. Hope that you fall in love and it hurts so bad. Say they all add up.
Faith Matters. I'm come to the end of my show, wrapping up a bit early today. It is Christmas after all, and we want to be with our family and getting out there with our friends, and I hope you're doing that today. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. It's a bit windy, but hey, it's not raining, so that's a good thing. And we've had Hannah Pitt in the studio today. It's been wonderful having Hannah share some of her stories with us over what she does in PNG, Papua New Guinea. She works on the medical ships over there, and also heads out to further afield out in the back of the country where many people are in need. And we don't often see those things, those needs, but Hannah and her team do, and she's got a training a lot of young people, which is fantastic. So we can only encourage the work that she does, having great people from Whangaroa doing great work out there is a wonderful thing, isn't it? So if you want to hear some more things about Hannah, join us at Surfside Church on Sunday, 10 a.m, Raglan Area School. I'm sure you'll hear some great encouragement, and some real God stories in there where I'm sure things have been moved just through her faith alone. So be encouraged, folks, and I'm going to head out with... I don't know what I'm going to head out with. I might head out with good plans. That's a good one, because God does have good plans for us, and don't you forget it.
The Lord is my shepherd, and He is everything I need, so I will not worry, I will not fear the enemy. He said that He loves me, He said that He's with me, even though I walk through the valley.